Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC. We're going to ignore the game at the weekend because really and truly, who can be arsed? Like, who can be arsed with that nonsense? A really, really poor performance from Liverpool. A very questionable decision by Manthony Taylor, who did not award a free kick and then stopped play to stop us scoring a goal. It was a very odd one. It reminded me of when Arsenal played Bayern at home and Raya took the goal kick and Gabriel picked it up and the referee allowed them to take the goal kick again and then said afterwards he wasn't going to award a penalty for schoolboy error. My assumption is that Manthony Taylor has decided to just forgo the rules of the game, apply his own decision-making powers and not allow us to score from a schoolboy error, because I'm guessing Areola thought he'd been given a free kick. But such is life. Did we deserve to win the game? No, probably not. We weren't good. They weren't good either. Game wasn't good. Post-match Raw was good, though, so make sure you go back and listen to that. The most notable thing that came out of the game is obviously the spat between Klopp and Salah at the end of the, or when Salah was due to come on. And it's hard to know what to make of it. I mean, it's very difficult to know what was said because there's no chance either of them are going to come out and say it. It looked like Jurgen was a bit aggrieved that Mo had just kind of given him a quick handshake before going on and not the usual embrace. I don't really know what to make of it, but things seem to get, you know, a little bit feisty, which is nice. It's nice to see them actually give a shit because, you know, we all watched the Everton game where nobody seemed to give a shit. But at the same time, you don't want to see the two of them argue. But obviously then, everybody rushes to take a side. And the bottom line on this is, they're both grown men. They've been together now a long time, 7 years. You can't tell the story of either without a lot of mention of the other. Neither are where they are now without the other. Now, I know a lot of people will automatically default to, well, Klopp's the boss. Well, stop being a bootlicker for a second here. Do you always agree with everything your boss does? Do you ever question them? Because if not, you probably should. A lot was made of Mo walking through the mix zone and saying, if I speak, there will be fire. Of course, James Jimbo Pierce leading the charge on that one and writing his little hit piece in The Athletic. Not a surprise from Jimbo, given the agendas he's run against players like Emre Can and Daniel Sturridge and Mamadou Sakho and Naby Keita and Fabinho over the years. Jimbo has form with this type of crap. But it seemed to just be ignored that English isn't Mo's first language. And while he does speak good English, it's not great English. And perhaps what he was saying was, I'm not going to give fuel to the fire that the media are already going to be running. No one seems to take into account that maybe that's all Mo meant. Because I think that is what he meant. If I speak, there'll be fire tomorrow. Meaning, you morons in the media are going to be writing about this anyway, and if I say anything, it's just going to add to it. And of course, you've had lots of people start to denigrate Salah, try and put him down. Never saw this energy when James Milner disrespected Jurgen Klopp at the same ground a few years ago. Never saw this energy when Jordan Henderson on multiple occasions disrespected the manager, having been hauled off. Two mediocre at best players never got the same treatment that arguably the best attacker in club history is getting. Absolute madness. Madness. The usual Mane hive appeared out of refrigeration or wherever it is that they've been to say that we should have kept Sadio and sold Mo. Sadio had far more tantrums during his time at the club than Mo has had. He was also never quite as good as Mo and quite clearly washed by the time we moved him on, hence his failure at Bayern Munich and them being very, very happy to find a buyer for him in Saudi Arabia. And speaking of Saudi Arabia, obviously last summer there was strong Saudi interest in Mo. It is expected that this summer there will be strong Saudi interest in Mo. Mo will turn 32 this summer. He's got 1 year left on his contract. And with Michael Edwards back, I think the expectation based on Edwards' track record would be that he would sell Mo for as much as he possibly could. David Ornstein has come out this morning and said that Liverpool expect Salah to stay and that there's to be contract talks, and he's also apparently all clued in with the Saudi side, and he said he expects them to come in next summer to try and get him on a free, which is just nonsensical, because I just don't see any world in which if Salah doesn't sign a contract, Edwards keeps him at the club. Even if it means taking less than he would ideally like from the Saudis, Edwards would rather get money than let a player leave for free. One of the big issues between Jurgen and Michael Edwards was Jurgen's decision to allow multiple players to run their contracts down and leave for free rather than selling them and reinvesting the money, which is the model that we were to be built on. So I think Edwards has leaked that directly to Ornstein. We've seen Edwards playing games over the last week or so, leaking one thing to Ornstein and one thing to Joyce and others. For those that don't know, Edwards and Ornstein are quite close. There might be there might be a little family connection there that's worth digging into. Yeah, I think Edwards will probably look to sell Mo. Mo doesn't really fit as an Arnie slot winger, is part of it. Now, he could fit in that number 10 position, the Calvin Stengs role, which is probably closer to a 9.5 second striker role than it is to what you would think of as a traditional 10. Like, it's not a Mesut Ozil, Kaká type of role. It's more that Antoine Griezmann type of role. So Mo would fit in that role. So if he is to stay, I would hanker a feeling that that is where he will play. And potentially, it could really get some of the best form out of Mo that we've seen. And obviously, we've seen a lot of great form, but that kind of role, where he is now in his career, that might really suit him, especially if you put pace and power around him. Now, last week, we also saw Edwards leak to Joyce and then to Ornstein different stories about Nunes. That potentially is setting up, you know, the idea that Nunes is available, but we're not going to let him go cheap. But if Darwin stays, Darwin has the 9, Mo behind him. So Szoboszlai is probably the best fit we have on the left wing. That is the position that he, or it's the closest position to where he predominantly played for both Leipzig and Salzburg. And Mohamed Kudus on the right wing would be an obvious fit into the team. Kudus has a buyout clause for this summer, which I've speculated on for a while, and David Ornstein has confirmed that that does exist. Makes sense that it would exist. His move to Brighton fell apart because they wouldn't include a buyout. West Ham got that deal done very, very quickly, which, excuse me, to me was always a tell that they had given a buyout. So if you were to go Kudus, Salah and Szoboszlai behind Darwin and have pace, power and goals in abundance, that would fit how Arnie Slot likes to play. McAllister then in a double pivot with a defensive midfielder. Again, I've seen a lot of people say, oh, well, Trent should move into midfield. The idea of Trent in a double pivot is just horrifying, to be totally honest. Horrifying. Certainly in a 4-2-3-1. In a box midfield where maybe you play Alexis right in front of him on that right-hand side or someone else, maybe. I mean, there's definitely a world in which Trent plays in midfield. I just don't think it's under Arnie Slot. I think Slot will want him at right back. And I think he'll invert him from there, but not the same way that Klopp has. Or rather, the way that Linders has. I think he'll invert him the same way he inverted Gertruda, which is he inverts him more as a third centre-back rather than a midfielder, but he doesn't play in the centre-back line. He plays about halfway between the two centre-backs and the midfielders. It allows him then to stagger the midfield so he could push Alexis a bit further forward. But he won't let him just go in and stand in midfield and be utterly pointless the way Klopp and Linders are doing. And the Hollywood passes will have to stop. Every so often, yes, there's a need for one. And yes, it's the best pass. Most often, it's not the best pass available. And most often, it doesn't come off. But if Trent is the right back, Konate and Virgil in the middle, I think we should be looking at someone of a high level to come in and be back up to Ibu or compete with Ibu. I think a left back is so badly needed, it's not even true. And I think Robbo is quite likely to go this summer. He's 30. He's got a year left. He's on big wages. He's declined significantly over the last 2 years. I think it's time to move on from Andy Robertson. He just hasn't been good. He hasn't been good this season. He was terrible last season. He ended 21-22 poorly. The brain farts that he has defensively, where he charges out of the line or hangs too deep in the line, are far more costly now because he doesn't have the burst that he had a couple of years ago. He's also, to his defense, he's been asked to do far too much. But you bring in a new left back, and that defense, under a manager who has a better defensive structure than what Pep and Linders has been putting in place, should work. You add a defensive midfielder next to Alexis. You add Kudus. It's three signings for the starting 11, if Mo stays. If Mo stays, it's three signings, which was going to be the case under anybody. It was the case under Amorim. It was the case under Alonso. It would be the case if Klopp was staying, that the first 11 needs three players. So if Mo plays the 10, Szoboszlai can play the left side, and we need a right winger. And again, Kudus just seems like an obvious fit. 17 goals and 6 assists this season, 13 and 5, I think, for West Ham. Under David Moyes, largely playing in less than ideal positions. Like, he wants to play right side so he can cut in onto his left foot. He's played more left side than he has right side under Moyes. He's played some as the false nine. He's played a little bit as a 10. But Kudus would make a lot of sense. 24. Pace, power. Good shooting ability off both feet. Good dribbling. Can carry the ball at distance. Great work rate, which all of those things tick big boxes for any slot. And it does look like it is going to be slotted. Obviously, it hasn't been confirmed yet, but reports are that we've agreed to a compensation package with Feyenoord. So you'd imagine it's only a matter of time before he gets confirmed as the next manager. I personally wouldn't have been my choice, but he would have been on my long list. But long list, he wouldn't have come up onto any short list. Like, he is a good manager. His football is fun. There are concerning flaws, but the football is fun. The football is very De Zerbi-esque. And if you look at his Feyenoord team and how they're set up and the individual roles of each player, it's all very, very similar to De Zerbi and how he uses his players.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
But if we go into this summer and sign the three starters we need, get a good centre-back in to rotate with Ibu, and get a decent backup goalkeeper, because I would be shocked if Kelleher's at the club next year, because his value is going to be too high to not look to move him on. Let's say Anthony Patterson, Scalvini, just for the sake of a name, Kerkez at left back, Varela in midfield because he's got a buyout in Porto, I think will be open to a sale even below that. And then Kudus on the right. So Diaz goes, Robertson goes, Kelleher goes. There's probably one or two others. Tyler Morton should bring in a decent fee. Potentially Carvalho gets moved on. Like, I think he would fit well, maybe as the backup to Mo, as the 10, second striker. Harvey is the backup to Kudus. Gakpo is the backup to Dominic on the left. Besetic, Jones and Endo as the cover in midfield. New centre-back, Gomez and Kwanzaa as the cover at centre-back. Bradley is the cover at right-back. Costas is the cover at left-back. Let's say Anthony Patterson comes in. Like, that's a really good team. That's five signings. Patterson, these are just names to fill positions. Patterson, Scalvini. But Kirkez, I do think, will be high on the list. We liked him a couple of years ago. Two summers ago. Feyenoord, when Slot was there, tried to get him. Alkmaar tried to sign him before he went to Milan when Slot was there. So I definitely think there's a lot of liking. And obviously, he's at Bournemouth where Richard Hughes is coming from. So there's a lot of reasons to think Kirkez might be the one. And Kirkez and Szoboszlai, like down that left for club and country, could be great for everybody. Varela in midfield, Kudus. Like, that's not an outlandish summer. Say 65 for Kudus, 55 for Varela, 35 for Kirkez. Sounds about right, does it? Does that 155? Say 15 for Patterson is 170 and probably 45 to 54. Scalvini, that's, and it doesn't have to be Scalvini, it's just a name. That's 220. You probably get 60 to 70 for Diaz. You potentially get 25 for Robertson, 25 for Kelleher. You get 10 plus add-ons for Morton. I mean, is there a Gravenberg sale? Doesn't really fit anywhere. Maybe as a backup 10. That's probably the best role for him, but if not under maybe this manager, who knows? Like, there's probably 100 million needed to put into this team. But again, that's the case anywhere or with any manager coming in. And again, there's probably one or two others that could do it being sold, you know? Quite like the idea of Salah as that second striker, though. Arne Slot will bring third staff member to Liverpool, tried to hire Shakhtar manager. What? Arne Slot will arrive at Liverpool with three members of his staff from Feyenoord, while he also tried to convince the manager of Shakhtar Donetsk to join him. It is widely reported that Sipke Hulshof, who also works with the national team, and Ruben Peters will follow him, as will Etienne Rijnen, an analyst and technical advisor. Okay. Interesting. So that will be replacements for Linders, Kravets, and Kornmeyer. That's pretty good. And he also tried to get Marino Pusic to join his backroom staff. He was Slot's assistant at AZ Alkmaar and Feyenoord, but is now the manager of Shakhtar. So, I assume if he gets the heave-ho at Shakhtar, maybe then he's someone that that Arnie will go back to. Because that's quite a volatile place to be. Liverpool now may look for a successor to the outgoing head of recovery and performance, Andreas Schlumberger, while the hope is that elite development coach Vitor Matos is also replaced. You'd imagine that they will be. No further departures are confirmed, but the likelihood is that more of Klopp's staff will also consider the futures. Mona Nemmer, who's the head of nutrition she was brought in by Klopp, so it is possible that she will move on. And then obviously the goalkeeping staff, we'll see what happens with them. Will be interesting to see what happens with the rest of the staff members. Obviously, Jurgen appointed pretty much everybody who's at the club at this point because, you know, he's been here so long. So many of them will need to be moved on. Right, Liverpool.com, piece about Frankie de Jong, piece about Richard Hughes, piece about Arnie Slot. Multiple pieces about Salah. Piece about Gakpo. Victor Osimhen will make transfer and new Man City charges claim as Liverpool watches on. Well, we'll have a look at this because it's likely to be nonsense. Liverpool linked with 69 million transfer for midfielder with just 14 Premier League starts. We'll go to that. I think I missed a piece on this as Anfield, actually, that I wanted to look at. So, Victor Osimhen. Right, Man City charges update. As we all know by now, City face 115 charges. And Football Insider claims that... why is anybody listening to Football Insider on these things? Like, Jesus, Lord wept. Victor Osimhen, we won't be signing, so there's no point really going into that. Liverpool have been linked to the move for Carlos Baliba. 20-year-old joined Brighton last summer from Lille. According to Caught Offside, which could well be spoofing, would depend on who at Caught Offside. Most of them are spoofers. To be fair, he was great when we played them at their place. But he hasn't really put together any kind of consistent run of performances this year, which would probably indicate he needs at least another year at Brighton before a club like ourselves, or I saw United there also mentioned. They'd be stupid enough to go and spend a load of money on a player that's not developed yet, because they did it with Rasmus Højlund. But I don't think we'd be stupid enough to do that. Now, again, he's super talented, like, and he's potentially an absolute monster in midfield. But I feel like that money could be spent on a better option for right now, someone that's ready to contribute immediately, not someone that's going to take a year to settle in and become a player that can contribute for us. I should have pointed out that Spurs losing yesterday, getting robbed, really. Spurs getting robbed against Arsenal is pretty much confirmation that we will be in the Champions League next season. There's a 27-goal goal difference, which they're unlikely to overcome. Mark Bruss, no idea who he is, to be totally honest. So maybe he's spoofing, maybe he knows what he's talking about. Arnie Slot set to become the fourth most expensive manager of all time. Piece about Salah. 47 million price tag slapped on Liverpool transfer target ahead of the summer window. We'll come back to that. Gary Neville waffling. We won't bother with that. A Liverpool legend admits he had to Google Arnie Slot after Liverpool link, so we'll come back to that. Ten Hag in disguise. Pundit takes savage hit at Liverpool's Arnie Slot appointment. We'll come to that. You wouldn't have won a trophy without Salah. Ex-Premier League striker hits out of Klopp. I mean, it is true. It is true. We would have won nothing without Mohamed Salah. But likewise, we wouldn't have won without Jurgen. So, Sam Maguire, if any title deserves an asterisk, it's this one. Liverpool have been shafted. Get on that one, read that. It's very, very good. How does Arne Slot compare against previous Dutch managers in the Premier League? All Dutch managers in the Premier League have been crap. All of them. Forever. Dutch managers do not succeed outside of the Netherlands, bar the odd couple. Frank Rijkaard had success at Barcelona, was garbage everywhere else. Louis van Gaal had success at Barca and Bayern, but failed at United. All the rest of them, Gus Hiddink was good in international football. It's a completely different sport. Dick Advocaat had its success at Rangers, but that's a horrible league where he was at a club who were blatantly cheating and spending too much money, which is why they went bust. But no manager has come from the Netherlands to the Premier League and done well. Go and look at the list of managers that have won the Eredivisie over the last 40 years. And find me the one that's done well elsewhere outside of Louis van Gaal. And again, done well in club football. I'm sure there's a league title there for Cruyff, isn't there? Was he playing? I think he might have been playing. But Cruyff doesn't count because it's too long ago. It's irrelevant. How does he compare? Hopefully much, much better. Hopefully much, much better. Now, who is the pundit that says he's Ten Hag in disguise? Jamie Carragher is worried Liverpool have got a yes man. Jamie Carragher has admitted he didn't know who Arne Slot was. Graham Souness thinks it's a big step up and is concerned Slot may end up regretting the move. And Steve Nicol has boldly stated that Slot doesn't have the CV of a Liverpool manager. Ex-Sky Sports anchor Richard Keyes. I mean, we're really looking to Richard Keyes for opinion? Really? Richard Keyes is who we're now looking. I think it's Erik ten Hag in disguise. He's nothing like Erik ten Hag, and he's definitely not a yes man. So you can put those two things to one side. Robbie Fowler has admitted he didn't. That's, do you know what? That's concerning for Robbie. I mean, to say he's done okay at Feyenoord, he's done better than okay. Like, he has done a lot better than okay at Feyenoord. He got them to a European final. He won a league title. He won a cup. He's done a lot better than okay. Let's not be shitheads about it. No, he wouldn't have been anyone's first choice. But he is what it is. So, like, let's not be shitheads and lie about things. Liverpool are stepping up their pursuit of Bayer Leverkusen defender Piero Hincapié and may have to fork out 47 million. I mean, he made a lot more sense under Amorim than he would under Slot. But could he play the left back role equivalent of what Gertrude does on the right? But then Trent would have to play the right back equivalent of what Hartman does on the left, which involves an awful lot of overlapping. And given he's recently given up the concept of defending, and in the last couple of games seems to have also given up on the notion of running, you'd wonder would Trent be up for a role like that, or will he have himself a strop? Anfieldindex.com. There's a piece about Fowler saying he didn't know who he was. There's a couple of pieces on Arne Slot, three in fact. There's a piece on David Ornstein saying Salah is set to stay at Liverpool because that's what Michael Edwards told him to say. And then podcast wise, there is Post Match Raw. It's Trev, Guy, and Jim. There is a Scouser Tommy's, which is Jim and Jay. There is the press conference pod, if you want to go back and listen to that, though obviously it's out of the way now because the game has gone. What else do we have coming? So, I believe there is a Media Matters coming today with David Lynch. That would make sense. It's Monday lunchtime. There's also a transfer show and a Stat Me Up to come today or tomorrow. Rival Recon will be with you Thursday. Scouser Tommy's Friday. Minefield on Friday. So that's one to really look forward to. The next Under Pressure will be recorded on Tuesday. So it should be out Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. There will be a Scouted tomorrow and a Scouted later in the week. Tomorrow's one will be non-Liverpool as we try to avoid any and all talk about the Reds. So there you go. I will see you all tomorrow. Take care of yourselves. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.